Aloha and welcome to the Murph's Place 808 for the Love of Golf podcast. I am your host, Murph. Oh, I can't even think of my own name. Damn. Hey, we have a special guest in the studio tonight. We have Mr. Randy Kish. Randy, how are you doing?
Murph, fabulous. Happy to be here. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you for coming. I apologize for how cold it is. We're both sitting here in jackets because it is so cold up here and rainy. Luckily, the rain stopped. It was raining all morning before I went into work.
We can't complain too much, though.
You're right. Although I shared something actually on Instagram the other day about, and it was one of the local people about Hawaii being cold right now and in the wintertime, and it's like 68, 69 or whatever, and we're freezing. And then some of my buddies back home were like, shut up. What are you talking about? But I remember, you know, when I was coming out here just visiting, from 2001 to 2015, we would get up like at 5 or 6 in the morning and go play golf. And I would be in shorts and a golf shirt, and my buddy Ski would be in a jacket. I mean, a heavy jacket. And I'm like, what are you doing? It's nice out. And he's like, I'm freezing. Oh, I never understood that when I was just visiting. But the first year after I moved here, that very first year, I got acclimated to the weather. And then that next year, I froze at night.
Yeah, I was on a Zoom call this morning, and I was wearing a stocking cap because I was so cold. And one of the folks on the call was like, wait a minute. Are you still in Hawaii? And I said, yes. Like, why? And I'm like, well, it's cold.
Yeah, you know? they don't understand. No. Once you get acclimated to it, it doesn't take much to get cold. So, but thanks for joining us tonight. I know we're going to bring up, you played in the Hawaii State Open. They just brought that back this year again. And so we'll get into that here in a little bit. But I'm going to start off with the regular stuff we talk about, the Beach Boys. It was kind of nice. I went over to Oahu this weekend because I had to do some stuff. And I actually they played Coral Creek, which was close to where I was staying. So I thought, okay, I'm going to surprise those guys. I'm going to go down and meet them for lunch. And so Rob and Angela came in first, and Rob recognized me right away and said hi. And we talked for a couple minutes, and Angela. And then Kimo come in. And he walked by, and he looked at me, and he just kept walking, and he looked at me again, and he kept walking. And I'm like, Kimo, really? And he's like, oh, shit, I didn't know that was you.
He gave you, like, the double and triple take?
Yeah.
Like, whoa, wait,
yeah,
wait, like, that looks like that Murph guy.
That guy looks familiar. Not. Yeah. No, and so I was like, what the hell? And he goes, oh, man, I didn't recognize you. And it has been 7 months, though. So, but anyhow, they played Coral Creek. It was the last round for the year, the season. The new season will start in January, and like I've told you guys in the past, if you're local here and you want to play on Mondays, you guys are welcome to join those guys. Just contact them on beachboysgolfclub.org, the website. Let Steve know you're interested in playing, and it's $60 to join. That covers also your gin handicap and then whatever else is going on through the years. They have a couple of competitions and stuff, and you can win money. I did find out, though, that they recently changed the rule where now you have to play in all the games. You can't, like, just pick and choose.
So you can't say, okay, I just want to do the greenies, or I just want to do skins, or I just want low gross,
no,
low net.
You have to do everything. You have to play everything. It was mandatory before where you had to pay, I think it was like $25, and that covered the low gross, low net, front, back, and overall. And then you could choose whether you wanted to play greenies, chippies, long and short par three, which it's really crazy not to play the long and short par three because it's only $5 for each one of them. So $10. And if nobody wins it, it rolls over to the next week. And so it's really crazy if you don't play that. But now what Rob was telling me was they changed it in that now you have to play everything. You don't have a choice whether you other than short and long, because there's some guys you don't have to play every week. You can play as much as you want or as little as you want, but each week that you play, you earn points. And whoever, like, I think they pay out like the top 10 or whatever at the end of the year, whoever has the most points. So you get points for showing up, and then you get points for however far you are under par. So if you shoot 74 and your handicap's a 10, that's 64. So that's 8 shots lower than par, and you get 8 more points. So it's a great club. I loved it. I miss playing with those guys. A bunch of great guys. So I got to see a lot of those guys this past Monday, and it was good. And thank you to Angela. Thank you again. Angela bought me lunch, Robin Angela, but she was the big winner. She won the low net front, back, overall, and the low gross. And I think a skin or two and a greenier chippy. So she made out. My little lunch didn't hurt her pocket at all.
All the more reason to always toss money into the pot, right? You just never know.
Exactly. You just never know. So that was the Beach Boys. Like I've told you guys before, if you want to join, just go to beachboysgolfclub.org and send them a message. STB, Dan Messner's group. Then some of these guys play both groups. They play. Tommy plays with STB. He also plays on the Beach Boys. But they play on Saturdays. And this past week, they played Kapolei. Matter of fact, Tommy was telling me that guys were complaining because the greens were so fast. And it was probably, this was after you guys played.
Did they play Friday or Saturday?
Saturday.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so that was after the last round. Man, yeah. They were rolling.
Yeah, and so, but Tommy's used to fast greens because he's a member at Riviera, and so that's how the greens are there. So he didn't have too much of a problem with it, but some of the other guys did. So to the STB is Shank It, Tank It, or Bank It is the name of the club. STB for short. And it's a greenies and skins game. And if you go to Facebook, you go to the STB page, he has an explanation of all the stuff that they do, but it's mainly just greenies and chippies. It's $30 to join that club. And that basically just covers your gin handicap. They're not like charging more like for any extra stuff. The one good thing though is Tommy sponsors the $1,000 hole in one each time they play. So it's a certain hole, it's the hole in one hole, and if you make a hole in one on that hole, you get paid $1,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Tommy puts that money up for that.
And how many times has he had to pay out?
I don't think anybody yet. Nobody yet. But there was a hole in one. The time I played with these guys, the last time I played, there was a guy that had a hole in one, but it was not on the $1,000 hole.
So instead, he just got to buy everybody drinks and get an attaboy.
Exactly, right? Yeah, I mean, shoot. I mean, $1,000, man. That was just like the, and I've told this story before on the podcast, the Mililani, when they used to have the hole in one for $10,000. You pay $5, you could win $10,000 if you make a hole in one. And it was always on hole number 15. About 139 yards or 130 yards, somewhere around in that area. And the insurance company made them change it to a different hole because there were 12 hole-in-ones that year, and they had to pay out 6 of them.
Oh, and insurance companies don't like to pay.
No. Especially like it's $10,000, right. $20,000, depending on if you paid $5 or $10. So yeah, I had a hole in one on that hole 15, but it was after they moved the hole to hole number 7. So I got 0. I did get a flag. I got a flag, a nice flag. I had the guys I was playing with sign it. So it was pretty cool. But, yeah, so that's STB. If you, like I said, if you want to join those guys, just go to the Facebook page. Type in STB and it'll pull it up and you can contact them and let them know. And that's another club that you don't have to play if you don't want to play every Saturday. I don't think they play every Saturday, actually. I think they've been playing more here lately, but before it was like every other Saturday or a Saturday a month. But I think now they're starting to play more. So in the last group, the VGA group, Veterans Golfers Association, They played Olamana Golf Club this last weekend. So same thing with those guys. If all these guys are a great group of guys. Even if you don't live here and you come to visit, still contact them because you'll be able to get to play usually a nice course, a decent course, at a way reduced rate than what you would pay if you were a visitor, because you'll get the club play with these guys. And just come and tell them you want to play as a guest. You won't have to pay everything, but you'll have to pay, you know, if you want to get into the games and stuff, you'll have to pay, but you won't have to pay if you don't want in the games or anything.
Well, and hats off to the guys that put these things on.
Yeah.
Just tons and tons of work. It's, you know, it's a very thankless job, but, you know, really appreciate everybody that, you know, that schedules these things, puts together the tee times, tracks everyone down. It's like our stuff on Fridays.
Yeah.
Like poor angry Mike, you know, there's a reason he's angry, right? Because everybody's like, you know, who's playing? And then nobody will say anything until about 5 minutes before and say, well, I want to play.
Yeah. You know? Yep. Exactly. Yeah. Those guys, the guys that run these things, sometimes it's a thankless job. And I was the president of the Beach Boys Club for a while, so it wasn't too bad. I didn't handle a lot of the money coming in for the games, like the low gross, low net and all that. And then, but Steve Walsh, who is basically him and Rob Kim are the two running it now. He also had a hand in collecting like skins and I want to say chippies maybe. But it wasn't too bad when I was running. And I mean, I didn't have to, he handled the scheduling of the, I didn't want to deal with that, scheduling the tee times at all the courses. And he does it at the beginning of the, you know, he's done it now. And for the most part, 2024 schedule's already done. But I didn't want to do that. And I'm glad he handled that and took care of that, because I wanted no part of that. But same with the VGA. If you're interested in joining those guys on the VGA, there are a few requirements, like I've said in the past, a veteran, active duty, or if you had a family member that was in the military, that also qualifies you. There's different flights, and they have a family flight. They have an active flight or a current flight, a veteran flight. So, and it's based on your handicap. So you'll get placed in a right flight where you're playing against guys that are in your range of handicap. Other than that, go to the VGA.org website and you can sign up there to play with those guys. All right, let's take a short break and we'll be right back. Hi, I'm Murph, a passionate golfer and host of the Murph's Place 808 for the Love of Golf podcast. I have been involved in the golf industry for over a decade, and my passion for the game has only grown stronger over the years. Through my podcast, I strive to bring the latest news, insights, and interviews with professionals and amateurs in the golf world. Whether you're a seasoned player or just starting out, my goal is to provide valuable information and entertainment that will enhance your golfing experience. So if you're looking to improve your swing, stay updated on the latest golf trends, or simply connect with fellow golf enthusiasts, be sure to tune into the Murph's Place 808 for the Love of Golf podcast. Together, let's take our love of golf to the next level. And remember, the best way to stay connected is to subscribe to the Murph's Place 808 for the Love of Golf podcast and join our growing community of golf enthusiasts. So hit that subscribe button and join me on this exciting journey. All right. Welcome back, everybody. PGA news. All right. So obviously we had a couple of things going on this weekend. We had the PGA Tour Q School was going on. And we also had the PNC Championship. And so over the Q School first, the winner of the Q School was Harrison Endicott of Australia. He shot 15 under to win. Now, the top five guys in ties make it to the PGA Tour. And to be honest with you, it's five guys that I've never heard of, but they get their card. And there's some other ones, like the next 40 guys get
conditional
status on PGA Latin America. So there's way, and Korn Ferry Tour. So there's ways for guys to get in it. Now, we have our Brent Grant watch, who is a buddy of mine from Oahu that I used to play golf with. Last year, he got his PGA Tour card. He was at the Korn Ferry Tour Championship. He finished well enough to get his card. So he played this past year on the PGA Tour. Didn't have a great year, but not a horrible year. He had one top 10, I think. He made about half the cuts of the tournaments he's played in. And so he was in the field for the Q School. Unfortunately, I see that the first day he shot 79 and then withdrew. So I don't know if he was injured or what happened that he withdrew. I have to assume it was an injury. And I haven't talked to him, so I don't know. But I have to assume it was some type of injury because I don't see Brent withdrawing, even after shooting 79. The guy shoots 60s easily. So it wasn't like he would be completely out of it. Now, I don't know how that affects his status for next year because if I remember, and I did this on the last podcast, I broke it down. It was the top five guys and ties get their PGA Tour card. The next 40 guys get status on the Korn Ferry Tour. The next 40 guys after that get conditional status on Latin America, or they get status on Latin America tournaments. And then the last 20 get conditional status on Korn Ferry Tour or something like that. But so I find it hard to believe that Brent, even though he didn't have a great round the first round, that he would just withdraw from Q School.
He made it to the finals. So, you know, he's going to finish. I mean, he didn't make the cut. So whatever that ends up being point wise.
Yeah, I don't know.
I bet it had to be either an injury or what happened to you in July when the putter broke.
Yeah, I should have withdrew. I should have quit. I missed the cut, so it didn't matter. Well, no, there wasn't a cut. That was just the qualifier.
And that was actually, the first time that we played against each other, and that was my first W.
Yeah.
We'll
get to that in a minute. Luckily, I didn't play in this one because you probably would have had the first win of next year. Because actually, this tournament this year is for next year's points. So you're going to start out with a lead on me on the points. But that's okay. That's all right. I'll be prepared. I'll be ready. So anyhow, yeah. So Q School, I don't know. I hope Brent is okay. I haven't talked to him. I need to try to get in touch with him and find out exactly what happened and what the plan is now. I know Korn Ferry has a Q School too, which is going to be coming up. I think
when I traveled back to the mainland, the week before Thanksgiving and I went to see a friend of mine in, at the Landings Club in Savannah, Georgia. And they had the Korn Ferry. It was actually the second round of Q School.
It was
raining all week. And I'm like thinking about these guys. I'm like, oh man, I mean, they're playing for their careers. And I mean, it's cold, it's wet, it's raining. And the guy, and I can't remember what his name is, but he was college teammates with Victor Hovland. And Victor caddied for the guy. Remember right after?
Victor, after Victor won that one tournament, he caddied for this guy.
He won the memorial. He caddied for the guy in the first U.S. Open qualifier. Yep. It was a 36 hole. So he was in the field. And first day shoots even par. Second day shoots 10 under. Third day comes in, and it was just a 3-day event. And I looked at the score and he made it because I think they were doing top 13s, make it to the finals. And he finished double bogey to make it on the number. So, I mean, it just goes to show.
Yeah. And you know, I've done it in tournaments too before that, like I'll have a finish like that, like a double bogey, bogey or whatever. And then I'm like in my head, I'm like, there's no way I miss a cut. And normally most of the times I missed the cut, but it was like by one shot or two shots. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I could have made par here and made the cut. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, you can't.
You can never golf. You can't just like you can't like half-ass it. Like, you know, you miss a par putt and then you're like, oh, well, I'm done. Like, you know, and then you just swat at it and miss your bogey and then make your double bogey. And then find out, you know, if you'd have made that bogey, you could have made the cut.
Right.
You gotta think that you're always in it and you can always make it, and play like you're doing that. So anyhow, that was the Q school. Like I said, I hope to find out from Brent what's going on. I hope he's all right. Now, the PGA Aloha section they brought back the State Open this past weekend over at Kapolei on Oahu. That's where Randy went. And that we're going to talk about that here in a second. I didn't play. And the reason I didn't play was because I wasn't happy with the cost of what they were charging for the tournament, which was $425, which, in my opinion, Randy might have a different opinion, but in my opinion, at least Randy got pretty much he got three rounds, right? Because it was two rounds and a cut. Yep. So you made the cut. So you got your three rounds, and then you got a certificate for 230 something, right?
No. Fourth place pays zero. I got zero. Fourth place, zero.
They only paid the top three?
They only paid the top
three.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. But I got points.
But you got points for next year, going into next year's Senior Player of the Year race. Jonathan Oda, let's break down the flights. John and the pro flight, John Oda, not Jonathan Ota, but John Oda, the pro, shot 9-under, and he won by one stroke over Jared Sawada. And Jared is another guy we were watching on the Korn Ferry Tour last year. So hopefully Jared's going to be back on the Korn Ferry Tour this year. In the championship flight, Blaise Akana shot 3-under to win, who is a UH golfer. For UH, and our buddy Tyler Ogawa shot 2-over to finish tied for second with Peter Young. So two UH boys finished 1 and 2. The senior pro flight, Lance Takata shot 14-over to take first place, which I was kind of shocked that I know Damian Jamila, a friend of mine, plays. He was a member of Moana Lua when I was there. He played. He finished third. But I thought he had a good chance to win it.
Yeah, and I played with John, who finished second. I played with him the first 2 days.
Oh, John
Bassick.
Bassick, yeah. Yeah, and John Bassick finished second. And then the senior AM flight, which Randy was a part of, and I'm a part of, but I didn't play, our boy Jonathan Oda.
The Tiger Woods of the
senior AM flight. He shot 10-over to win, and Randy finished in fourth place and shot 25-over.
Yeah, so Jonathan shot 80 on
the first day.
On the first day. Yeah. Craig Larson.
He always does. Yeah. I mean, he'll shoot 80-something right. Every time, and then he'll bitch about it.
Yeah, yeah. So he went 80, 73, 70
yeah.
The last day. And Craig Larson was leading after the second round. He was 75-75, and he threw up a 79 on the last day. He ended up finishing second. It was really hard. The greens were lightning fast.
Well, and you guys didn't have the best weather either.
No, it was cold. Again, you know, it's all
68
relative.
Degrees, yeah. 69, 70 degrees.
But it's a wet cold. it was cold. Really cold in the morning to start. The wind was howling. It was like when we were in Maui, 25, 30 knots. And it was just swirling. Like it just, you know, nothing was dead nuts into you except if it was a long par five.
Right.
And the greens were, I mean, the course was in great shape. They had had a bunch of rain. So you were getting no roll.
Mm.
Like, you know, the fairways were,
right.
You know, super not muddy, but you just were getting no roll. And they of course had the pins, you know, right on ridges, you know, back in corners. And, you know, if you were above the hole, just close your eyes and pray.
Yeah.
You know, it was just,
and those greens are kind of slopey there too.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, the, after the first round, you know, I think at the low guy, I think shot 73, you know, including the pros.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like 73, 74 was the low round. I felt better about my 83, the fact that Jonathan shot 80. I'm like, oh, okay, you know.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Here's Mr. Senior Player of the Year who's winning everything right now, and I'm only three shots off him.
Right.
Came back the second day with a 78. I figured I needed to shoot 75, 76 to make the cut, and I came in at a 78, and I was like trying to do the math after I finished. Everybody got done. I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, so they cut it down to 50% of the field, and so am I still there? Okay, these guys are pros. They're in this one. You know what, I'm doing all this. And I'm just standing by the scorer's table, and the guy's just like, hey, why don't you just go home? Like, you're going to get an email. Like, if you're going to get a text if you're in, you know. Right. And I'm like, okay, I will. So I went back to my hotel, and, you know, I, like, was texting people. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I shouldn't have, like, oh, I missed that. You know, I flailed a four-footer to save par on the last hole of the day, just like you were talking about. I'm like, oh, if I missed by that, oh. But I was tied with Guy Yamamoto.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, well, you know, I think we were tied for, I don't know, eighth or ninth or something. Or actually, we were tied for ninth, yeah. So I was like, oh, you know, we'll see what's going to happen. And about, I don't know, 2 hours later, I get a text and said, you know, your GGID for tomorrow is, so I was like, whoa. And yeah. Then I went and looked, I'm like, I'm in, all right. And sure enough, you know, right on the number.
That's awesome.
And so I got paired up on the last day with Guy Yamamoto and Skip Storm. And Skip, we know, right. and I've run into the last few tournaments, and it's the first time we were able to play together. And, you know, Guy, I mean, we're playing with royalty.
Yeah. You know,
Guy played in the Masters.
Yep.
And Skip and I were talking, we're like, so who's going to be the first one to ask him about the Masters? Like, should we wait a couple holes? He'd be like, oh, Guy, what was it like? You know, hey, I know we're all trying to, you know, put up a number today, but can you tell me, like, where'd you stay? What was the food like? How are the greens? Was it really hard? What's it like playing in front of all those people? So, no, but Guy was great. We just kind of, you know,
I love Guy. Yeah, he's such a great guy.
He's awesome. So we, it was cold and it was windy, but the sun was out. So we're like, all right, this is great. We're not going to get any rain today. And as soon as we said, we're not going to get any rain today, clouds move in. And then we start kind of, you know, it's just that misting and you're right. Like, oh God, here we go again.
Did it dump buckets on you guys, no, or did it just kind of drizzle?
It was just drizzled. And on Friday, or actually on Thursday, it actually kind of opened up a little bit for about a hole or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, by the time you get, you know, your cover on, you get all your gear on, then it stops.
Then it stops, yeah.
But you're wet.
Yeah.
And then you're cold and you're miserable. And then you let it get in your head because we're amateurs. And so we don't know how to get that out of our head.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, is my grip wet? No. Should I change gloves? No. You know, God, I suck. I shouldn't even be here. Why did I make this flight? Oh, I shot 41 on the front day one. What am I doing? I'm not, you know, like just playing in the head, you know,
yep.
Just trying, you know, how it amazes me. The guys that play competitively on tour, whether it's Korn Ferry or, you know, PGA or even watching the PNC this weekend,
right.
How they can stay focused and concentrate every round week after week. It's amazing.
Yeah. I'm obviously it's not easy. It's tough. And I'm glad you brought that back up because I forgot to mention the PNC that also happened this weekend. And in the PNC, they're played, it's a two-man team, and it's usually a professional and one of their kids.
Yeah, so you have to have won a major.
Oh, yeah. They had to have won a major.
You had to have won a major to be eligible. And then you can play with your kid, your dad, your son, your daughter, you know, your mom, you know,
right.
Son-in-law, you know, whatever, just some kind of family. And what I really like about it is, and I don't know when they did this, but they, you know, it used to just be the, you know, anybody that won a PGA event, and now they've opened up the LPGA as well. You know, so Annika was playing.
Yeah, Annika played.
And
who was she playing with, though?
That was her son. That was her son.
She has a son.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know she had kids. I didn't think she had any kids.
And there's something going around, you know, on social media right now, but walking up 18, she was walking pretty fast. And her son stopped her and said, let's walk slow. I want to take this in. And the kid's like 11.
Oh,
and
nice.
She starts crying and I'm watching it and I'm like tearing up going, man, that's so cool.
That is so cool.
And what, you know, everybody that they interviewed said, hey, yeah, you know, I mean, it's just, it's just so much fun being able to spend time with my dad or my sister or my brother or my son or my, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
You know, for these 3 days and thanks PNC. And then they all say, yep, we're coming back next year. We're signing up. And then I guess there's a huge waiting list.
Oh, really?
For other people like Bubba Watson, like wants to try to get in. So it's like all these, and it almost reminds me of a really popular member guest.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
where everything, yep. everybody's like, oh, I'm on the waiting list. I'm going to get in like 7 or 8 years.
Yeah. And Bernard Langer and his son won it this year.
Yeah, 25 under.
Yep. 25 under.
They were 8 under on the front. They birdied the first 7 holes.
Wow.
Part 8 and then birdie 9.
You know, and what I saw was pretty cool was that Tiger was playing with his son, Charlie.
Yep.
But his daughter, Sam, caddied the first day. So I thought that was so cool.
She did it all weekend.
Oh, she was there all weekend? Yeah, oh, I thought they said she was just there for the one day. But no, that's so, that is so cool that he got to have both his kids there with him in that situation. Now, okay, I have a little bit of an issue. Because I saw something the other day about this tournament, and it was, I can't remember if it was on Instagram or where, but somebody said that Charlie Woods hit the ball, carry 324 yards or something like that. I'm sorry, I got to call bullshit because the kid is 14 years old. I'm not saying he can't hit it far. Did you see the video of him when he hit that one drive and then he waved at it like bye-bye? I'm not saying he can't hit it far, but I'm having a real hard problem, a real hard time believing he hit a ball carry 324.
So I know what you're talking about. I think I saw.
Did you see it?
Well, I saw the video, you know, making its way around. And I think because the PGA Tour actually their social media people posted that. I think what it was is he cut the corner on a 324-yard dogleg left, par 4, and he drove over the back of the green. So, obviously...
Oh, I see. So, it was a dogleg left.
It was a dogleg left.
Okay.
So...
Yeah, so from where the tee was to the green wasn't actually 324.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
it's 324.
Yeah, it's 280. I mean, he still bombed it.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I mean, the guy's a, you know... He's got
I mean, he's Tiger Woods' son.
He's got his dad's swing. He's got Rory's swing. He's like, he's just, he's
okay. Sick. Well, then that makes sense.
Yeah.
I thought it was a 324-yard shot. Okay.
Not like you. Not like you.
Yeah. Not, you know, not many people hit it as long as I do. It may not go straight, but.
So yeah, sorry, we digress. But this weekend was a ton of fun. Great competition, and just like 2023 ended with Jonathan Ota, you know, winning everything.
Yeah, the Clipper.
Yeah, the Clipper.
Did he win the Clipper to Brandon?
I don't remember. I didn't play in the Clipper. I think you did. I think it was Jonathan.
Jonathan,
Player of the Year, won what, 4 events, was in contention in everything, and then comes out of nowhere after his 80 and, you know, wins this thing again, you know, to start this year. So we're all chasing him.
That's how he always is.
That's how he is. And he had his big smile, and he has his new lab putter as well. So he and I both did.
How did he putt with that?
He didn't.
No, you have it too, though.
Yeah, I got one too.
How did you putt with it?
Awesome. Awesome.
Did you putt better than with your other one?
I did.
You feel more confident with it?
A lot more confident. I still, the head goes to sleep and you miss a little short guy that you shouldn't miss.
Right.
But, you know, I made probably 5 or 6 long par putts that I wouldn't have made before.
Yeah.
Maybe one out of them. But it just rolls pure. It's great. Royden over in Maui, who won the Maui Am here over there, you know, he's the rep for it. And I picked one up when I was there, and it's awesome.
I remembered you guys were ordering. Did you order two or did Jonathan order?
Well,
two?
I thought Jonathan ordered two. He only ordered one.
Oh.
So he's got his tall. He's got the tall boy.
He ordered the tall one.
Yeah, he got the tall one.
Okay.
And I got the short one. But we both have the same kind of mallet head.
Right.
But he, I think, for the first 2 days, didn't make any birdies. I think he said on Friday he only had 1 3-putt. So, you know, that was a lot better than he had, you know, before. But then when he shot a 70, obviously threw in a few birdies. So
yeah, no doubt.
You know, he got it rolling.
Well, let's get into how you ended up started playing golf. How was that process? Take me back to when you started picking up the game.
15 years old. My dad used to play golf and then stopped playing and was a competitive handball player. So he played handball for a while, loved the competition. And my little brother, who's 2.5 years younger, we try to play handball with him. And I played baseball. My brother played baseball. Grew up in Minnesota. So, you know, you're supposed to play hockey. You know,
did you play hockey?
I started. I played about 2 months. And my dad, both my parents were from Southern California, and I grew up in Minnesota. And both of my parents, my dad hated the cold. And so we'd be outside having practice, and he goes, you know what? Enough. I'm buying you high tops. You're playing basketball. So didn't play hockey anymore. But I played baseball, you know, just like everybody else. Yeah. And I loved baseball. I was a catcher. You know, I was really good defensively. I couldn't hit a curveball to save my life. And once the pitcher figured out that I couldn't hit a curveball,
That's what he fed you all day long, curveballs.
So, yeah, I got really good at sitting on the bench. I got really good at chewing seeds, and I got really good at talking smack. That was my career. And so my dad decided when I was 15.
Sounds like my basketball career in high school.
There you go.
The coach told me, hey, practice shooting where you play from, and I would sit on the bench and throw balls at the basket.
So my dad wanted to get back into golf. And I said, yeah, let's, you know, I want to start up. So we were playing like this Burnham Wood Golf Club in Burnsville, Minnesota, and little 9-hole where, you know, my mom or my dad would drop my brother and I off there, and we'd spend all day. You know, you just play 54 holes. You just keep going around and around and around. I think the longest hole was about 135 yards. And that's where we started playing. And then my little brother played high school golf. I went off to college, you know, played chop college golf, but what we would do or not didn't play competitively.
I was gonna say, did you play high school golf? Did you play college golf?
Or college? No. I did not.
But you still kind of just played around. But I mean, nothing like serious or no tournaments and stuff like that.
The serious was the fact that my dad is super competitive, my brother was super competitive, I'm super competitive, and we would take golf trips between the three of us. And it was just, we would grind. We would absolutely grind against each other, and nobody wanted to finish last. Like nobody wanted to finish last. And then my little brother ended up walking on at UTEP, the University of Texas, El Paso, and ended up getting a scholarship, played college golf there. And when he started playing college, like he just lapped my dad and I. Like he just, you know, just those college golfers. And we see it when we play in all these events. These guys,
Tyler just, and James Wentworth and those guys.
You know, Andrew.
Andrew.
They're just so far, and just, you know, because they practice and they grind and they, you know, they're awesome. Like, and that's all they do is they just play golf. So I kind of just kind of chopped around, and you know, I think I was probably like a 10 to about a 15 handicap, you know, all throughout my 20s. And then I started kind of getting a little more serious about it. And when I lived in Colorado and I started playing, I wanted to start playing in some events. You know, so I wanted to play in some mid-ams. So I played in the Colorado mid-am, and I was probably, I think, like a 6 or 7 handicap at this point. And I always have had a pretty good tee ball. My short game is just atrocious. And, you know, it's better now, but it was just really bad back then. And, you know, I'm the guy that hits 8 greens and shoots 43. Like, you know, I wonder where you should work on your game. So I
don't know. You threw up a 69 last Friday. So.
You know, first time ever.
That was a great round.
That was awesome. I finally didn't fall apart like I usually do.
Took money from me again.
You know, he always calls Leland the ATM. I think Murph's my ATM.
Yeah, really. I've been your ATM the last couple of times, but that's about to end.
So I just started playing in some Colorado events, and I'd get so nervous when I'd play in these things. And, you know, I play the fun little, you know, weekend matches and member guests and, you know, the fun just, you know, social golf. But, you know, competitively, I wanted to get out there and grind and play in these things and really kind of see how I could do. And so I qualified for 3 different Colorado mid-ams. So not USGA, but just Colorado. And I'd usually qualify with like a 72 to a 75 you know, 76, depending on what the course was like. And each time that I'd go to the event, I would just throw up on myself. You know, first event I shot 93, 91. I didn't finish last. I was,
there you go.
So I like to say in 2005, I was the 81st best mid-am in the state of Colorado. There were 84 of us in the tournament and I finished it. And then the next one, qualified with a 73 and then went out and shot 89, 89. Right. And so I was like, what am I doing? And then I was like, all right, well, let me wait till I turn 50. Right. Cause then I can start playing in these am things. And then they changed the rules so that you had to wait till you're 55.
Yeah. Well, are you talking about for Hawaii?
Yeah.
55.
You know, for all AMs. Like before it used to be, you could play 50. In any amateur events at 50.
Well, the pro ones are 50.
Yeah,
so
they're still there.
Yeah.
You know, but they changed that, you know, whatever, 15 years ago. And so I was always looking at what I was looking forward to was turning 55 and being able to start playing in the senior amateur stuff. I've got no chance against the young.
Oh guys. Yeah. Me either. Yeah. No.
And so I moved out here 2.5 years ago. And I went from playing golf, you know, maybe 20 rounds a year. And, you know, now I'm doing a buck 20 a year. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for everybody that's listening where there's snow on the ground, but we're playing tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. Saturday, as a matter of fact.
You go, there you go.
So since I got out here, I play 3 times a week. I don't practice like I probably should, but I play.
Right.
And every single day that I play, we've always got some kind of game going.
Yep.
Right. You know, so it's skins, it's frames, it's whatever it might be. And I also joined a club. I joined the Kona Men's Club down at Kona Country Club on Sundays. And so it's the competition, man. I love the competition. But there is something different when you tee it up outside of not even a men's club or the skins games like we play on Fridays.
Right.
But when you're in a, you know, Hawaii Golf Association or the Aloha section, something happens to you on that first tee.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah, when you're trying to get points and you're trying to do well,
what has happened with me is it's not necessarily trying to win. It's trying not to make a fool out of yourself. And it's trying not to like, oh my God, I don't want to shoot 90 or I don't want to, you know, carve a smooth 50. Like, you know, like that's what goes through my mind. And in my first rounds, like even it last Thursday, I'm like, okay, whatever you do, like, don't hit it right. Like, well, what's going to happen?
You're going to hit it right. You put a negative thought in your head.
Or just, oh, don't swing very hard or don't make a big number. And then when I had my big number, my 83 on Thursday, what did I do on Friday? I was just like, I don't care.
Right.
I started off, nut a drive, hit it to a foot, birdie. Like,
yep.
And then I, you know, was off the races. And so the mind game is so important and so overlooked. It's so overlooked.
Dude, it's, and I've always said this, that golf is 95% mental and 5% physical. Just about anybody can hit a golf ball with some practice. Mm-hmm. But being able to battle those demons in your head when you're playing and not thinking about stuff. I've played my best golf when I never even thought about golf. You know?
Yeah.
So it's a mental thing. It's a mind game. And we all go through it, especially when it comes to tournament time and you're trying to not necessarily even win, but like for me, I just want to get some points, earn me some points. I got to make some points. I got to make cuts so I can get points. And
now you're in the hole to me.
And now I'm in the hole to you. So they're familiar with you. They've heard your name before. I've brought your name up in the podcast before. That me and you have had a battle this past year. You started playing some Hawaii State Golf Association tournaments this year, and we've had this battle back and forth about who has the most wins. Like you said, first tournament, you got the win. The win against me.
Right.
Not necessarily the win of the tournament.
No, not the win of the tournament.
Second one, I got you.
Yep.
Third one, you got me.
Yep.
Last one, I got you. Now.
No. I won the...
You won the first one.
Senior qualifier. AM qualifier. I got that.
Mm-hmm.
You got Kauai.
Yep.
I got Big Island.
Yep.
You got Maui.
Yep.
I got Waikoloa Invitational.
Huh?
The Waikoloa Invitational. The one that was at the Village.
Yeah, no. Evans. I thought we're tied.
No. Nope, I was third solo.
I'm going to have to check my records again.
All right, we'll look it up. During our next break, we'll look it up.
Yeah, we'll have to look this up. I thought we were tied.
Nope, I got you.
Because you were up 2-1.
Well, we didn't count the USGA Senior Am qualifier in this as we've been going back and forth. We're 2-2 if you take that one.
Oh, off. I see. Yeah, we didn't start that. We didn't start this little competition until after that. You're right. Okay.
We started it when we went to Kauai.
So we're 2-2.
Because that was the first time we played together. We played the practice round. And
is that the one we all stayed together?
Nope, that was Maui.
Maui, that's right.
But the one at Kauai was, that was when I pulled out my clubs after we...
Oh, yeah, and you lost the screw to your driver.
I lost the screw to my driver head, and I was like, oh, my God, because my driver's, like, ancient. It's, like, 12 years old. It's, like, just this Cobra from, 2012, and I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to play with 3-1. I can't hit a 3-1. No.
I can't believe that you actually went to Roger Dunn, and they had the exact same driver somebody had just turned it in.
So it was a $40 screw that I ended up getting, and I got a new driver.
And you got
so
a new got, yeah, yeah you got another head. Driver.
I got a driver head just in case.
You can't beat that. This thing. That's a great deal.
That was insane.
Man, that's crazy. So yeah, all right. So technically, officially, we're tied 2-2.
Okay.
And I didn't play this one, so your little third place, fourth place finish don't count. So, but congrats.
Thank you.
Well deserved.
I'm glad I made the cut.
Yeah, really exactly. Glad
I made the cut because as we were talking, you're like, "Geez,
it's a lot of money, man.
To
play two rounds,
and then we play we should pull the Brooks Koepka line out, which is just play better.
just play better.
Yeah, but yeah, sitting on that cut line, I was like, no, I'm gonna have to go back, and Murph's gonna be. See, I told you.
I know. Told you. That's how I was. Where was I at?
Was it Clipper?
Oh, Clipper. Yeah.
Remember I texted you and I was like, hey, how you doing? And you're like, ugh.
I was on I'm close to the cut line. If they take this many, I'll be in. And then I even told Kevin, the pro there that was running the thing when he came out, I was like, hey, 159 is going to make it or whatever number I was at. I was like, hey, 159 is going to make it, right? And he was like, oh, no, we'll see. Yeah. And I didn't.
Go home.
Yeah.
Take a nap.
Yeah,
you'll get a text if you get in.
So I end up going home and then the next day playing with STB group.
Well, see, it was probably, you probably had more fun.
Well, it was fun until the guy adjusted my back and messed up my rib again. Yeah. So Friday was only the second time I played in the last month. So I haven't been playing a lot. But let's back up to your college days because you went to Minnesota.
So I started off actually at the University of Colorado Boulder. I like to say that I was an academic redshirt my freshman year. I was a Navy ROTC guy, and apparently you have to go to class. And I
sometimes
didn't really go to class that often my freshman year. They politely asked me not to return to the engineering program, so I spent the second year kind of crawling my way back into back into school. And then got the parental yank to come home to Minnesota because my dad was not pleased with my
academic. He's like, I'm spending all this money and you're doing this when I could be paying a lot less if you're in state, get back to Minnesota.
Exactly. Actually, he said too, he's like, if you come back, we'll join a club. And I'm like, okay, fine, I'll come back.
Join a club?
No. So I transferred back to the University of Minnesota. And I think the second year that I was there, so I had three senior years. So this would have been my second senior year. I auditioned there was tryouts for the mascot, Goldie the Gopher.
Goldie the Gopher.
University of Minnesota Golden Gopher. So I auditioned and I won the tryout and I became the mascot. Great weight loss program. Tons of fun. I got to travel to all the football games, I went out to the Shoe, went to the Big House, went to Wisconsin, Iowa. It was just awesome. So it was really, really, it was the closest thing to playing college.
Yeah. I mean, you're on the field.
You're on the field.
You're on the field.
Travel with the team. I could have gotten a letter jacket,
exactly.
It was awesome. It was awesome.
So what's one of your better stories, better mascot stories?
So... We were playing Michigan State. It was in 1991. We were playing 1990. We were playing Michigan State, And we were actually ahead, which is a Gopher football is incredibly average for, you know, the last 50 years. And we were up and I was trying to kind of get the crowd pumped up. And so I'm running around the stadium where these old days we're playing the Metrodome. And so we're running around, you know, I'm in the stands, high-fiving people, and you sweat like in this thing.
Oh, I bet it's got to be so hot in that thing.
Yeah. And so I went to jump out of the stands to get back onto the field to then, you know, beeline to the other side to, you know, pump everybody up or whatever it might be. And as I was jumping out of the stands, my tail got caught in the railing and I kind of tumbled gopher head over tail and I landed like right on my forehead and right on my knee. Like, and it was about a, I don't know, like 5 foot, 6 foot drop, like not that bad, but I'm like, oh, you know, like my knee just like blew up. So I kind of hobble into a dugout just, you know, since it was where they played both football and baseball. So I hobble into the dugout, take my helmet off, and I've got this big gash on my forehead. One of the cheerleaders runs in. She's like, oh my gosh, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Just, you know, like my knee's killing me. So they go get the student, you know, like the student trainers. And they come running over. And of course, this is like the first action they've ever had. So they're like, oh my gosh, like we've got to strap you to a backboard and let's do this and let's do, you know. And so they're basically I take off my suit and I have Minnesota Athletics football shirt on and football pads underneath to make myself look, you know, look like a gopher and
right.
You know, like a big meat, strong leg bull, right? Big guy. And so the cheerleading coach comes over as well. And she's like, oh my God, we've got to like, you got to go get x-rayed. Like we've got to make sure that you're okay. Cause your knee, you know, my knee was really swollen and this cut on my head. So they lay me on a flatboard and basically immobilize my head. Cause they're afraid that I, you know, had some, you know, a neck injury. And they're like, well, we've got to take you, basically cart you across the field into the ambulance to take you over to get x-rayed. And the coach was like, well, wait a minute. Nobody can see who Goldie is. So we got to throw a blanket over him. So they throw a blanket over me. They've got the gopher head and the suit that's at the corner of it. And all you hear are these little kids going, oh my God, Goldie died. Goldie's dead. So I put a paw on and I'm waving to the crowd as I'm going by. And so they go throw me in the ambulance. And one of the trainers is like, son, I've been with the Gophers for 38 years. We ain't never had to take the mascot to the hospital before. I was like, well, you know, I am athletic. So they zip me over. And whenever anybody got hurt at the football game, obviously football players, they would zip them over, kind of clear space for them, x-ray, and then send them back. And so there's somebody that's coming from the game. So they're like, okay, we got to clear this out. They roll me in. This, you know, nurse orderly guys like getting me prepped and he's like, hey, how's the game going? And I was like, oh, it's good. I think, you know, before I got hurt, we were up by like 7. And he's kind of looking at me up and down. And remember, I had football pads on in Minnesota, you know, Minnesota football team.
Right.
And he goes, what position do you play? Are you like the punter or the kicker? And I was like, actually, dude, I'm the mascot. And he just started laughing. He's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. You know, I was trying to fire the crowd up. And so fortunately it was just a sprain. But yeah, that was pretty funny. And my dad was at the game. And so they went after I got hurt, you know, when they came back, they're like, hey, is anybody at the game? Cause you can't drive. And it's like, yeah, my dad's here. So they page him. It's like Bill Kish, page report to the football press box, Bill Kish. And my dad's like, what?
He know that you got hurt and was gone?
No, he had no idea.
He had no idea.
So he's just like looking around. And he's just like, oh my God. And then so he comes down and meets me and he's just laughing at me, you know? So, you know, it's funny. I think we talk about pressure, you know, in golf and obviously pressure being a mascot too, especially when you jump out of the stands.
Yeah.
Watch out, Murph.
Yeah.
It's that first step that's going to hurt you.
Exactly.
But you know, I still remember like the biggest meltdown I ever had on a golf course. And it was my dad and I, my brother were playing. And again, we used to just have vicious matches. This was after my brother, you know, had played a couple years in college. So I none of us had touched him. And we were playing this course in Minneapolis, links at North Folk. And we make the turn. I'm even par. My brother's 4 over and my dad's like 43. And I just looked at my little brother and I was like, all right, little man, today's the day. I got you. Your big brother's going to take you down. And he looks at me and he goes, no, you're not. He goes, you're so weak. Like, you're just going to fall apart. It's just a matter of time before the wheels come off. I was like, come on, man, really? He goes, nah, it's going to happen. Long story short, 36:53. Wheels came off. And my brother was needling me the whole, like, I did a bad shot and he'd go, vroom. I'm like, what's that? He goes, those are the wheels coming off. They didn't tighten the lug nuts hard enough when you're going around the corner. And, you know, I'm just like, oh, my God. And I still think about that. Like, I go back to that whenever we're playing in these events. I start falling apart. I'm like, listen, if I can get through the thing with my brother, I can beat Murph this day.
Yeah,
so it's exactly. It's all about trying to get yourself out of that, you know, yeah, when you start sliding. Because we all do. Right?
Yep, and, definitely.
And how do you pull yourself out of it?
Yep. That's exactly right. All right. Let's take another short break, and we'll be right back. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Do you have the best music taste out of all your friends and coworkers? The best way to prove it is to stay ahead of all the amazing upcoming talent. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. There's some artists out of Ohio that you should definitely be aware of. Dacasso, D-C-A-S-S-O, yes, like Picasso, just released a new music video for his song Going Back. This rapper-turned-singer has an upcoming album this year full of beautiful ballads, R&B slow jams, and hard-hitting rap records. Head to www.smartboystudios.com as soon as you're done listening to this episode of Murph's Place to watch the music video. While you're there, check out the phenomenal C-Money Baby, the songbird Corey Gossett, and all the top-tier talent that the Smart Boy production team are working with, such as Eamon Jones, July, 10 Tempo, TYS Markey, D Knight, and much, much more. If you or someone you know needs quality production, mixing, or mastering, just head to the website www.smartboystudios.com and fill out the contact form. You can support Smart Boy Studios by going to shop.smartboystudios.com to buy merch or linktree.com/smartboystudios to check out the Discord server, new releases, and merch. All right, welcome back, everybody. Again, we're here with Randy Kish, my new nemesis on the golf course.
Nemesis?
Well, I don't know. My new competition.
There we go.
My new competition on the golf course. He has goaded me into this battle of who can win the most tournaments this year. Or finish higher. It's not really winning. We don't have to win in order to claim the win against each other. All we have to do is finish higher in the standings than the other guy.
So remember, first time we played competition was Big Island, second day.
Right.
And you reminded me about, I think we were on hole 7 or 8, and you're like, this, you play such boring golf, is what you said to
me.
Oh,
yeah. Dude, I got so tired of seeing you hit it down the fairway, in the middle of the fairway, hit it on the green, two putt, sometimes one putt.
No, very rare, hardly any one putts. All
I said
putts.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I think I made one birdie that day, and that was 9.
It was so boring. I'm like, dude, what's so hard? Just challenge yourself. You hit it down the middle of the fairway every time. Every time. Every time. I don't think you missed a fairway that day.
I didn't. I think I shot 74, 75.
Yeah. Like, I was getting tired of seeing it.
So that day, that's where I tied, right? Because you played great, you know, over in Kauai. Like, that was just, it was awesome.
Yeah, I played good.
So I beat you there. So we're 1-1. Then we go to Maui. And Maui was an awesome trip. Right,
because Maui was great
because it was the two of us, yep.
Andrew and Joe P.
And Joe P is dinner and entertainment.
Like, exactly.
He just, dude, he and all of you listening out there, you've heard Joe P on the show.
They heard a subdued Joe P.
Definitely subdued.
Joe P was not Joe P on the podcast,
but Joe P, like, I mean, he's a legend, right?
Yeah.
He is just, and so we had such a great time. And we all played great until that last day.
Yep.
And I remember walking in, you know, at the like, I remember you were in the final group.
Yeah, me and Royden.
We were both tied for second, Royden was first.
Yep.
For some reason, they decided to do twosome for or twosome for the final group.
Yeah.
Because I thought I was going to be with you guys as a threesome.
Yeah.
So I'm back with Jonathan and Ron Stark, and I just like I could not, which is why I bought the new lab putter, because I could not putt. I turned so many 5 foot birdies into, you know, 6 foot comebacks for bogey. Like I just, it was brutal. It was, you know, I had the hat off, I had the glove on.
I know. I
tucked my shirt in. I was like, rally cap.
You had a rally cap. Yeah, I saw you on one hole with a rally cap.
I was trying everything and I'm like, I just want to walk off. I don't want to play anymore. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, and it was just, I wasn't playing that bad. I was like three over after like seven holes. But in my mind, I'm like, God, I suck so bad.
That's that mind. That's that mental part, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah. So we get done and I walk in to the shop and turn my score in, and you came in and you're like, what'd you shoot? And I'm like, what'd you shoot? And I said, 84. And you're like, 83. Because we were tied going to the last day.
Yeah.
I'm like, son of a. you cashed.
Get some money. Yeah.
I shot myself out of it. I went from tied for second to no cash.
You got points though. You got points. That's all that matters is the points. Man.
Yeah. No, that was, and what a great and so happy for Andrew. Like what a just awesome.
Oh, dude. Man.
But it was,
he played so well.
And that track, you know, like, wind all the time, but the way they designed it, the wind was either dead nuts India,
yep,
or right behind you.
Or right behind you, other than hole 10. 10 was blown left or right, but the rest of the holes, you're right. You were either hitting directly into the wind or hitting with the wind.
And it wasn't swirling. And
nope.
And last weekend, dude, swirls, like, seemed like it was in your face every single hole. It was hard. And I wish you would have been there.
I was there.
Yeah, you were.
I was on the island, but I wasn't at the golf course. I was busy doing other stuff. I had to take care of some stuff. But
So we're 2-2 heading into 2024.
Heading into 2024, which should be March.
It's all bragging rights. That's what it's all about.
All bragging rights. All bragging rights and ATM money.
The 555.
And then the overall.
Yep, the 555 and the 5 for the overall.
Back to your mascot stories here. You hear stories about how, you know, football players, the girls are after the football player. Did you have any girls? Were there any mascot groupies or whatever that wanted to hook up with the mascot? Did you have any of that?
Unfortunately, no, but not for a lack of trying.
On their part or your part?
On
your part.
No, I mean,
hey,
I'm
with the Minnesota football team. Oh, what position you play? I'm the mascot, baby.
So, you know, one of the, like, being the mascot, you're the funny guy, right? You know,
right.
And run around.
And girls like funny.
Yeah, but they don't see you. Like, they don't, you know.
Oh, right? That's true.
They don't know who you are.
They don't know who you are.
And, yeah, I mean, you know.
Well, you could always, you know, take the helmet out one night.
No, you can't. No, you got to, you know, it's a big secret. Like, you gotta
really?
You got to really keep it under wraps as far as who's who. One funny story about kind of, like, being the mascot and, you know, you're around all these cheerleaders and, you know, you get to go to all the games. And we went to cheerleading camp and mascot camp at East Tennessee State University. And we were down there was the same week that the SEC was down there. So you had Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Auburn, Alabama, you know, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. Like, and you watch college football like I do and
right.
You see...
Oh yeah.
What you see there. And I mean, so there's just these beautiful cheerleaders. And then you look over at their partners and it's these Greek Adonis guys. I mean, they're just chiseled jaws. Like they're straight out of Central Casting, you know, like they're the dudes that can wear a t-shirt all day long and just look, make it look good. Right. And then there's all of us that are the mascots and, you know, we want to like, hey, try to go talk to the cheerleaders and you take the head off and you got zits all over you. You know, you're sweating
your ass off.
Butt sweat going like, hey, how you doing? So yeah, needless to say, being a mascot did not equate to, we didn't have a lot of, there weren't a lot of Goldie the Gopher groupies.
Groupies, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just kind of wondered that if that, but you're right. I didn't think of that aspect. You know, they don't know who you are. They don't see your face. All they see is this gopher.
Yeah. He was all sweaty and he's got like zits on his forehead from the chin mask and everything else. And so you were in athletics, right? Yeah. I run around in a furry suit. And I do push-ups, and oh God, we just scored a lot of points today. I got to do a lot of push-ups.
Yeah. So back to the golf part of it. What is your plan? I mean, was this the first year that you started, other than before when you were younger, started playing in tournaments?
Yes.
Competitively golf?
Yeah.
I mean, you would play, you know, skins or greenies with guys and stuff like that. But as far as an actual tournament.
Yeah. I mean, I played, there was a, like a Michelob amateur tour that ran through Colorado. I want to say in like 07, 08, 09, maybe it was 05, 06, whatever, something like that. And I did that for summer, but it was like 6 hour rounds, just brutal. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, this sucks. Like I just, this is no fun. And I was paired up with dudes that like thought that they were trying to qualify for the US Open and like they're shooting 90 and I'm shooting 90 and I'm like, really? Come on.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that's one of the things. That's one of my pet peeves is slow play. I mean, just play. I mean, you don't, I very rarely take a practice swing. If it's a chip shot or, you know, like a tucked pin or I short side myself, I may take a couple of practice swings, but for the most part, I really don't take any practice swings. I just get up and hit it because I don't want to waste a practice swing. I might take a practice swing and that was a perfect swing and I should have just hit the ball instead of just doing it.
Well, yeah. And slow play, it kills me. Like it just, and you know, you run into it sometimes in these tournaments, but it's never too bad. Right.
Yeah.
Like it's
yeah.
just, and everybody's dealing with the same thing. So, you know, you just kind of put up with it, but this is really the first, like kind of, and I had it in my mind when I moved here, I'm like, okay, once I turn 55, I'm going to start playing these events. And I signed up for the State Am in March of last year and just some things came up and I couldn't make it. So I backed out. I'm just like, you know, not really ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then the US Senior Am qualifier kind of was the target. That was the mark. And that's the first USGA event I've ever played. And God, I was so nervous. Fortunately, Tad Lawson, I was paired with Tad and Craig Larson from Maui. And I had played with Tad in an event that Steve Whitehead had put together, like the Master Shootout or, you know, his Whitehead shootouts that he used to have down at Mahalani. And so it helped because I knew somebody.
Right.
And Dick Gillette and I went down and played the practice round together. And so I was like, okay, well, you know, let's just, again, try not to embarrass myself, try not to throw up on myself. And I was seven over. I was seven over standing on 17. I'm like, you know what? Shooting in the 70s, this will be good.
Yeah. Yeah.
3 foot bogey and then made a solid seven triple on 18, that 18th hole. Oh. I nutted drive and I've got like 82 in and I got to hit three from the 82
because
I couldn't get it all the way up.
Yeah.
I would roll back down all the way up. And then I chipped over the green, got on, and I think, how'd you make a seven? Easy, you know, I canned a 35-footer.
Have you ever played that course before?
Just in the practice round, like 2 days before.
Yeah, that Hokulea is, I like it. It's a nice course. I like it.
It's hard.
I mean, it is hard.
It's long.
Yep.
They had us playing long. So that was the first one. And then Kauai was the second one. So I was like, okay, you know. And I had this thing in my head, like, I'm not good enough. Like I shouldn't be doing this. Like, and after the first, I was seven over after six holes first day. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm riding with Dick and I'm just like, Dick, I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't even know what I'm doing here. Like, this is such a waste of my money, your time. I can't make a putt. I'm in my head and something flipped and I played one over the rest of the round. Then the next day I shot 73 and then finished with a 73,
you know, yeah.
for the next 2 days and went from, I think 21st and I think I tied for sixth.
Yeah.
So, you know, that tournament especially, you know, shooting the pair of 73s. I'm like, you know what? I can do this.
Yeah, exactly.
And that gave me the confidence.
Yeah, definitely. You can definitely do it. It's just, like you said, it's mentally, it can wear on you. It can, you got to learn to be able to let stuff go. You know, you make a bad shot or you take a high number on the hole, you know what, that hole's over with. There's nothing you can do about it now. There's no sense of being pissed off about it now. I mean, it's fine to get mad about it immediately after it happens, but you got to let it go. It's done. It's over with. There's nothing you can do. You can't change it. Worry about your next shot. And so I still have my issues with it where it's hard for me to let something go sometimes and it'll stick with me and I just can't get over it. And you got to. I have never played better when I've been pissed about something. Never, right. ever. And I tell Dustin gets mad a lot about when he's playing, you know, and I try to tell him, I'm like, Dustin, you just got to let it go. You can play. You've played. You've shot in, you know, he shot 76 or something or 74 the other day or whatever. I mean, you know you can do it. So if you have a bad hole, just forget about it. I mean, it's done. It's over with. You know you can play. Just regroup and work on your next shot. Worry about what the next shot you're going to hit. What's your plans for this year? Are you going to try to play all the tournaments?
Yeah. I'm going to try to play 13. And I'm going to also toss in the U.S. Senior Open too.
Yeah, the U.S. Senior Open qualifier. Yep.
Yeah, for early June.
Yep.
Again, just grind for one day, man.
Yep. All you got to do is play good one day.
I mean, like, how awesome would that be?
I know.
You were there last year.
Yeah, I was there. I was close. I got low amateur. I got another silver medal. That's the second one I got.
You got some points.
And I got points. And I lost Damien in the playoff for the second alternate spot, which I would have went. Both Kevin Hayashi.
Yep.
So he finished second.
Both alternates.
He won. He got first alternate. Yep. He got first alternate. And Damien beat me and Juan Rodriguez from Nenea in a playoff on the second. Well, we all tied the first hole. The second hole, Juan fell out. And then it was me and Damien on the third hole, the par five at Leilua. And Damien hit a tremendous second shot and then made the eagle putt to knock me out. Birdie putt. Was it birdie or eagle? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was birdie.
He still beat you.
Yeah.
Beat you by one.
Yeah, he got me. So, but they both got called to come.
Yeah. So the plan is to play in, you know, as many of them as possible. Certainly the ones that are here, definitely want to go back to Maui again. We'll go back to Kauai. And you know, the stuff that's over in Oahu, you know, obviously the cost is, you know,
well over there. I mean, I'm in a fortunate situation. I have some place to stay. But that's the biggest cost is, you know, not so much the flight. Although Hawaiian, when I flew over this weekend, it was like $153.
Round trip or?
Round trip.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
and
I'm like.
It might have been last minute or it was
But
Saturday.
What made me mad was Southwest. I could have flown Southwest a lot cheaper.
How about when we
flew? But their flights aren't long enough. I mean, their flights aren't late enough.
Right. How about when we flew back from Maui on?
Oh, Mokulele.
Mokulele.
Hey, I was just talking to somebody about that the other day. They asked me how that flight is, how the Mokulele, my buddy Tony. I'm like, dude, I love Mokulele Airlines. I would fly that every time.
When
it's 10,000 feet up, you can see everything. I love it.
When the co-pilot, you know, who looked like he was ready to go to prom this weekend, and he looks back at us and he goes, all right, I'm going to give you the safety rundown. We're like, oh, okay, here we go. And then, hey, how much do you weigh? Okay, yeah, okay, you're on this side. How much do you weigh? Okay, you're on this side.
You know? Got to balance out the plane.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was like, but it was like, it was cheaper than Hawaiian. So.
Yeah, but definitely. Yeah, it was cheaper, but the reason we did it was because we needed the later flight.
Yeah,
yeah. And Hawaiian wasn't late enough.
And so what I want to try to do is when I do go to these is just, you know, like, I'm trying to convince Brian to Brian Culbertson to come over. He wants to kind of play in some of these this year. And so get a couple guys like we did in Maui and just, you know, get
Airbnb
and share it.
Yep.
And then kind of offset the cost.
Yeah, so that's the way to do it. I'm glad that that worked out for us in Maui. And Maui, you know, we're going to have two next year. Well, the Maui Open.
The Maui Open, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... So the objective obviously would be to, you know, play in as many as possible, you know, knock on wood that, you know, we keep the, you know, my health stays good and, you know, don't throw a back out or anything. And just keep practicing with the lab putter and, you know, keep grinding against you and every Friday try to get some skins. And,
I don't know, like, man.
And how about you? Are you going to, try to do all of them?
I'm going to try, but I know I got to make a trip back to the mainland to see my grandson next year for sure. I was supposed to do it this year and, the plan was August, but then I had the three tournaments in August and then between the tournaments and work, I wasn't able to do that. So this year, definitely I got to go back and I don't know, I'm going to try to plan it out either June, July or August. And it's only going to be for about 10 days. So I'm going to try to schedule it in between tournaments so I don't miss any tournaments, right. Yeah, that's the plan. I mean, this is the second year I finished third in player of the year points and I got to get Jonathan. I got to beat him,
man. He's tough.
He is. He's so consistent. And what pisses me off is, and I don't practice as much as I used to, but he never practices. Never.
He's just, you know what? He's got so much skill and he's been doing this for so long and he knows his game.
Yep, you're exactly right.
And I mean, I got paired with him in Maui and he was spraying it. He was struggling with the flat stick, but you know, he never made triple, you know, I think he made one double.
Yeah. Like,
and that was a fluke.
Well, that's the thing. You got to stay away from the double, stay away from the three putts.
Yeah.
And you do that, you're going to play pretty good, pretty decently. I mean, you're not going to play great, but at least you won't, you know, like you say, embarrass yourself or shoot 90 something.
But even if you do, big deal. Like, who cares?
Listen, right? Yeah, exactly. I'll give you, and I've told this story in a podcast before, but I'll tell you, when you mentioned something about playing that qualifier back in the day and you shot 93 or whatever, the U.S. Senior Open qualifier, the first year I played in it, I got low amateur at Hawakele. And they played at Hawakele for the next couple of years. That was the best. I shot 74 or 6. I can't remember which one.
Let's go with 74. No one's going to check. Let's just say 74.
But I think it was 74. It could have been 76. But anyhow, I got low amateur. And the following 2 years, I didn't play that great. I shot like low 80s. The fourth year, they moved it to Wailea. And I had caddied out there and played Wailea several times. And it's not that long. It's not that tough. And I played good. I shot in the 70s all the times I played in it for like the volunteer tournament for the Sony Open thing. So when they said it's going to be at the Wailea, I was like, yeah, I got a chance.
You already had the trophy, right?
Yeah, I got a chance. I got a chance.
You booked your flight.
Dude, first hole. I'm paired with my buddy, Bill Walbert, who's a pro. Paired with him and another guy. Very first hole. Hit my drive. It's that short par 4. Hit my drive. OB right. Retee. OB right. Third shot. Yanked it left because I wasn't going to go OB, but into the trees over the left. I took a 9 on the first hole.
Awesome.
And it didn't get much better after that.
Final number?
99.
Oh, you kept it under though.
Bill Walbert, my buddy, is like, Murph, what is going on? What are you doing? I go, dude, I have no clue. I cannot hit the ball. 99. Now, I will tell you this. It didn't happen to me, which I could not believe. But if you shoot over 10 over the course handicap, you we'll get a letter from the USGA saying you're not allowed to play in this again.
Right. You got to demonstrate that you have the game.
Right. Luckily, that did not happen to me. I never got a letter, and I've always been accepted to play in it. But that was the worst score I ever shot in. The rest of the times, you know, last year, three shots. I was so pissed. But anyhow, so I'm planning on playing. I gotta strive, number one, to beat you, and number two, to beat Jonathan.
Someone's got to get Jonathan. I thought Craig was going to do it this weekend. I really did. He was playing super solid, super consistent. And, you know, like you said, Jonathan started off, you know, 80, 73. So 75, 75. So, you know, Craig had a little cushion on him.
You know, Jonathan, I can't remember what he shot, 84, 85, the first round of the State Am, I think, or whatever. It was me, him, Mike Coate. Both of them played the worst golf I've ever seen either one of them play in my entire time I've been here playing with them. I've never seen him play that bad. And Jonathan, of course, is bitching about it. I go, shut up. Tomorrow you're going to come back and shoot 68. And it's exactly what he did. Shot 68 or 69 the next day. He does it all the time.
Yeah.
So every time he complains about it, I tell him. And I'm sure he misses me. I mean, I'm sure he missed me being there this week, calling him Mr. PED. I got to buy some urine sample cups too. I'm going to start piss testing.
Who was it? It was either Guy or Brandon was like, hey, you know, we need to test him. we were waiting for some of the other folks to come in, and we started laughing about when the Wekalo Invitational, when Jonathan won and Kevin called him up and then started walking away, and Joe P's like, come on, come on, Jonathan, give a speech. Come on. And Jonathan's like, oh, okay, fine. And poor Jonathan did not want to do that.
He did not want to.
But then Joe P started with everybody. Then everybody came in, and even I think Tyler, who won the thing, was like, thanks.
Yeah.
And we're all like, thank this person. He's just like, thanks. Joe P, man. Miss you, buddy.
Yeah, he's a trip, man. Joe P is definitely a trip. What kind of advice would you give to somebody who is just getting ready to maybe start getting into the game, or maybe thinking about playing competitively or playing tournaments, but kind of was like in your kind of same kind of shoes that you were thinking? What advice would you give those guys or girls?
Probably two. I really kind of two things. So where my game got drastically better was when I tried to stop hitting at 300 yards. And I started getting super consistent with my tee ball, right? Because I was thinking like 75%, you know, and started hitting fairways. And, you know, you're not going to make a ton of birdies, but you're also take the doubles and triples kind of, I mean, they're still going to happen, but, you know, your score is going to go down when you start hitting the fairway. And I know it's easier said than done. But probably the biggest advice, and I give this to Evil, you know, who I ride with every Friday.
Yeah.
I would focus on, you know, people say 100, but I'd say 40 yards and in, right? And just focus on getting the ball up and down. And it doesn't matter how good or bad you hit the tee ball or even your approach shots. If you can get the confidence and get it up and down, or get it at least close, so you give yourself a chance, that's all the difference in the world. And
right.
So if I tell anybody, like, from a practice perspective, start at 20, 30, 40 yards and just work on that shot. And don't try to hit the miracle Phil Mickelson 60 degree flop wedge, you know, play with what you're comfortable with. Figure out, I tell Steve, it's like, figure out a go-to club that, you know, no matter how much trouble you're in, whether it's a 7-iron or it's a wedge, and you can hit this punch shot and it's going to go 30 yards. Like figure right. out, get a go-to club when you get in trouble, or when your swing starts to go sideways, you pull that go-to club out and you just hit it to get your confidence back.
Yep, exactly. I've always preached, you know, where you shave the most strokes off your game is a short game, chipping and putting. Focus most of your practice time on chipping and putting. Yeah, you can hit balls at the range, but if you can get up and down, your score is going to go down big time, like you said.
Yeah.
Worry about those 20, 40, 60-yard shots in, and or even just around the green chipping, trying to get it close to give yourself a chance to make the putt. And if you miss it, at least you just make bogey if you're hitting it close enough, right?
Yeah. And the other thing is, it doesn't matter when you're hitting an approach shot, you know, if it's 120, 30, 40 yards, if you hit wedge, 56, or 6-iron. Doesn't matter.
Right, exactly.
You know, you hit what you're comfortable with.
Yep.
And, you know, choke down a little bit, swing a little, you know, don't take a full swing. Like, it's just, like, those kind of things, when you start to figure out that, and maybe it's because we're old and we have gray hair and, you know, we finally figured these things out, although we're still figuring stuff out. I munched that one, you know, still flex. I did flex the muscle on Guy Yamamoto. I outdrove him. I slicked in. I was like, I don't know if you saw me or not. And Guy, if you're listening, dude, I love playing with you. It was awesome.
Yeah. Guy's great.
Yeah. No, but you know, yeah. Is it fun to you know, nut a drive? Absolutely. Is it not fun to then hit it a 60 degree fat 10 yards after that? You know, that sucks. Then everybody right. Nice drive. I think, speaking for myself, like my scores have gone down so much just from short game, like yep. just from being able to get the ball up and down. I mean, Thursday, last Thursday, I didn't hit a green till 12. And on seventh tee, I was one over. I was getting up and down everywhere. Like yeah. I just, you know, I was hitting great chip shots, you know, making putts for pars. And I'm like, all right, today's the day. And then kind of fell asleep a little bit, bogeyed a par five, three putted, a stupid three putt. And then I was pissed, right? Because all of a sudden now I'm four over. I'm like, and in my head, I'm like, okay, now you're going to shoot 40. Like you were going to shoot 37 and now you're at 40. And what did I do? I bogeyed it and shot 41. So I didn't shoot 40.
Right. Yeah.
Gave myself a 41.
And that's another thing. That's another thing that I catch myself doing. I seem, if I don't keep track, like it's hard not to do it because you want to know where you're at.
Yep.
But the times that I've shoot low scores is when I'm not going, okay, I need to go bogey or par birdie to shoot this number.
Right.
If I don't think about that and I just play my game, the next thing you know, I'm even or one under or one over, you know. But when I start thinking, oh, like you, yeah. Oh, shit, I'm four over, I'm going to shoot 40 now. It messes me up every time. Every single time. And I try not to do it, but it's so hard for me not to do it.
So I was playing Hapuna last April. And we make the turn, and I'm four under. Four birdies and five pars. And a par nine, like, and I was just like, you know. And I mean, obviously I knew I had made four birdies, but I, you know, nobody was saying anything. And Mondo. Was playing with Mondo, and he comes up to me. He's like, "Oh, what's your best round ever, dude?"
Oh,
and
I was like, the jinx,
70, 200. He's like, "Oh, I've only seen one shot. I've only seen one guy shoot in the 60s. You're gonna do it today, man." And you know, 10 at Hapuna, right?
It's yeah,
dog leg left, and I proceed to fan two out to the right, and I just, you know, and so I make triple, and then I was like, "Okay, I'm only one under. Like I can still do this, right? Because the next one's a par five."
Yep.
And I hit a great drive and then of course force it. I'm like, I need to make eagle. When no, I really didn't. Like I just needed to make a birdie or a par and hit it. I think it's still going, you know, toward Maui. Like I just hit it off in the rocks. Some friggin' goat has it right now and he's running around with it. And so I made it an eight. And I just looked at the guys I'm playing with. I'm like, okay, let's switch to a scramble.
Was Mondo in there? Yeah. Was Mondo in your group? I would have been like, Mondo, what?
No, he felt bad about it. But he was just like, no, I was trying to pump you up, man. And I was like, yeah, okay.
So I'm that like, never right, works that way.
Yeah, let's switch to a scramble. I'm done. I don't even want to record the score. Like, because the other time that I was four under was actually I came out to visit my dad. My dad used to live here. And he knew Jim Saunders pretty well. And Jim invited us out to Nenea and I was playing Nenea and it had an awesome caddy. Like the guy, it was one of those, like, he's like, okay, put it here and do this. And I was like, okay, whatever, boss. Like, he's like, aim it here. I'm like, okay, whatever you say. And we played the back nine first. And so I'm standing on 17, that par three, and I was four under, made four birdies again. And he asked me, he's like, what's your lowest round ever? I was like 70 and he goes, oh boss, we're going to get 66. That's the number I'm going to get you today. And I snapped three out of about three into the junk on 17 and took an eight. And I think I still shot 74. You know, so it kind of around a little bit, but it's that whole, it gets in your head.
It does.
And I had a chance at the Village 4 months ago. I was 4 under, and then I bogeyed 16 and bogeyed 17, which have been my nemesis holes for like the last 2 months. So I'm 2 under, I'm on 18, hit a great drive. And I was like, okay. And I told the guys, I'm like, all right, guys, I'm like, I'm 2 under. You all know I've never shot in the 70s. What should
I do? In the 60s.
I'm sorry. I've never shot in the 60s. I'm like, what should I do? Should I go for it? I'm 180 out. So I can make eagle or try to at least
lay up.
Should I lay up? Right. And one of the guys is like, you've been throwing darts all day. Lay up, throw a dart, and you give yourself a better chance. What do I do? I'm like, no. It's only 180.
You know what, though? In your defense, that hole, I swear, when you hit your shot, because I've had 190, 180, 185, 186, 187, and I've hit a shot that would no doubt be on the green. And I think once that hits over that water, it pushes it.
It does.
The wind pushes that ball down.
I think you got to play that hole an extra 10 yards from where you are.
Yeah.
At least.
Exactly.
At least.
Yep.
Anyway, I hit it in the junk, couldn't get up and down, made 6 and 71. So, yeah, I just, like I said, I'm glad.
But you got your 69 last Friday.
I got it off. Yeah. And same thing again, though. It was 5 under on 16, bogey. Bogey 16, bogey 17, and 18. I purposely pushed my
way right
so that I wouldn't even have the opportunity. I was like, oh, I guess I got to lay up. I'm 240 out. Oh, I'm in the rough too. They're like, you're in the fairway. No, it's the rough. And made par in 69. So
that's awesome. Great. Yeah, but when you're talking about that, Joe P. I mean, I was playing with Joe P. It was paired in the. The Army Invitational, and I was paired with Joe P, and I was playing good. I didn't even think about golf. We were joking around. You know how he is. Yep. And we're just cutting it up, and I make the turn at 3 under, and I'm like, oh, I got it. I mean, Sean Sakota was leading. He's playing great. And I was just like, man, if I make a couple more birdies, I might get in a playoff, you know? But I wasn't really still thinking about it. I just thought that. And sure enough, I made a couple more birdies. I eagled 14. They had the tees way up. And it was like 3:05. I hit my drive to the fringe. The pin was up front. I putted it and went in for eagle. And I said, oh, man, if I get another birdie, I might get in a playoff. Next hole, par 5, I birdie. And then I went par, get to 18. And it's trees on the left-hand side, little dog leg left. And I pull my drive dead in the middle of the trees. The ball hits a tree and bounces out into the fairway about 130 out.
Clean living, baby. Clean living.
And I made par, shot 67, and I won, and I was down by 4 or 5 strokes going into Sunday.
And you won?
I won by 5 strokes over Sean.
Yeah.
But it was because Joe P, I didn't think about golf at all. We were joking around, having fun. I mean, I thought about golf and I was like, oh, if I get a couple birdies, but maybe I can get into a playoff.
You knew you had a score, but you didn't know exactly what you were.
Exactly.
Like you just were like, oh,
I wasn't thinking about it. I just, if I make a couple birdies, I might have a chance of, you know, getting a playoff.
But again, Joe P, dinner and entertainment, baby.
Like, I know. I'm telling you. But what you said, why I'm bringing this up is when Mondo told you, oh, you're 4 under, what's your best score? Putting that in your head, making you think about that, Joe P never said a word. And then after the round, he told me, he goes, I knew where you're at, but I didn't want to say anything. And I was like,
it's kind of like in baseball when a pitcher has a no hitter.
Yeah. Right?
Like everybody stays away from him. Nobody says anything.
Or in bowling when somebody's going on a 300 roll.
Yep. You know, and it's just, and I think it's also once, like I said, I finally cracked it. Right. And that has been, it had been something I was like, oh, I'm so close. But now that, you know, and now I believe, Yep. Now I'm like, oh, you know what? And in fact, when I was this weekend, I was like, I can do this.
Yeah,
I can
exactly.
68, 69, like no problem. Yep. No, I didn't.
No, but you know you're capable of it. But it can happen.
And it's that confidence thing. And, you know, we talk about Dustin and Leland. I mean, just awesome guys, like awesome kids. And Leland's got it. Like he's, you know, he's just his demeanor, awesome demeanor. And Dustin, only been playing for a couple of years. Dude,
I tell him all the time, when he played Waikoloa Invitational, was his first tournament.
Yep.
And that he's ever played. And he wasn't happy with, I think he shot 85 or something like that. I'm like, dude, you don't realize how good that is.
Yeah.
Your first tournament, dealing with the your very
throwing
first
up
tournament.
On yourself.
Yeah.
Throwing up on yourself.
And playing that well, dude, that's you played really well. You should not be upset with how you played.
Right.
I mean, it'd be different if it was your 10th tournament or whatever, and you've been playing and you're used to tournament conditions.
Or you shot 99.
Or you shoot 99. You want to be disappointed, shoot 99. That'll bring you right back down to reality.
Or shoot 93, 91, missed the cut by 25. Thank you very much. Steve Irwin, Hale Irwin's kid, won that tournament that year.
Oh, wow. Jesus. We probably should wrap this up. It's been about an hour and 40 minutes. Normally these podcasts are like 20 minutes. But no.
Good little chin wag.
Yeah, but no, it was good having you on, and I'm sure I definitely will have you on again, especially throughout this year. I will give you a little hint, though, buddy. I got something planned for you. I just ordered the new Rapsodo MLM 2 Pro launch monitor. So I'll be at the range working on my game a lot between now and March, our first tournament. So you might want to put a little time and effort into your game other than just Fridays and Sundays.
I might want to practice.
You might want to do a little practicing, yeah.
I'm going to practice with my putter.
Yeah.
I'm going to practice with my putter.
There you go.
Putting, chipping. I can't miss these three footers.
No
footers. You got to make them.
No. Do you have any other words of wisdom for our people that are listening?
No, I just appreciate you listening. Thanks for supporting Murph's podcast. And you know what? I just look forward to this coming out every Tuesday and Murph doing the recaps of. So the skins last Friday collected from.
Oh yeah, I gotta start doing our skins on Fridays too, because I don't, you guys, Leland was on the podcast, so and I told everybody, you know, he's my ATM.
Yep.
I have to admit, the last couple of times he's taken money from me. I was his ATM for the last couple of weeks, but I haven't been playing. I don't want to use it as an excuse. I had a little rib issue, and my back is still not 100%, but I played the last two Fridays, didn't play great, and lost money to both Randy and Leland. But
it all works out.
It's all going to work out in the wash.
I think the first three or four times you and I did it, I paid you. It goes back and forth.
It goes back and forth. All right. Well, listen, guys, thanks for tuning in and listening. I appreciate the support. If you guys do, listen, the podcast is on a bunch of different, platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify. The main one is Spotify. Spotify has taken over, the podcast platform that I used before Anchor. They bought them out. So if you can, please listen to it on Spotify. And it doesn't cost anything to do it, but subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, because there is I can't do ad reads for monetization until I get a certain amount of Spotify listeners. So if you could listen to the podcast on Spotify, you don't have to pay anything for it. It's free. There is a tab there. If you do decide you want to support the podcast, there's a tab there that you can click on, and there's a few different options. And just to let everybody know, though, all the money, Randy's pulling a dollar out of his pocket, giving it to me.
supporting the podcast. $1.
All the money that comes in for the podcast obviously goes right back into the podcast. None of that goes into my pocket. I buy new equipment. I have to replace cables and stuff like that. So all the money goes right back into the podcast. So I appreciate those of you guys that do support it. And like I said, if you can, please listen on Spotify. Thank you guys for taking time out and listen to the podcast. Randy, thank you for being on the show tonight. And like I said, I'll have you back on definitely.
Thanks, Murph. Appreciate it.
And other than that, if hopefully, I know you guys in the northern states, my brother. Sorry, Mike. I'm sorry you got to play indoor simulation golf right now up in Toledo because it's cold and snowy and not good weather. But if you're playing, if you're not able to play golf, do some inside work if you can. If you even if it's just going down in your basement and chipping balls into your couch or against the wall or whatever, and work on even putting. Get a little putting mat that you can put inside the house and work on that. But work on your game and put the time in if you want to. If you want to get better and play, especially competitively, you got to work on your game. You're not going to get better playing once a week with your buddies. You have to put the time in and work hard. On the other hand, if you are playing golf, if you're somewhere nice and warm, I hope you guys are doing well, having fun, and as always, hit them straight, hit them long, but don't hit them very often. Aloha, everybody.